Options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. Individuals should not enter into options transactions until they have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options, available by calling 1-888-OPTIONS or by visiting optionseducation.org. None of the information in this presentation should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell a security or to provide investment advice. This is part two of the Options Industry Council's seven-part Options Fundamentals podcast series.
Other terms, the underlying, it's what we've got our option on. So I have the right to buy or sell 100 shares of stock on which this right or obligation exists. So in our example, we've got the XYZ December 45 call at 550. That's an option order. 100 shares of good old XYZ is the underlying. In this case, it's a call, so we've got the right to buy 100 shares of XYZ under this call option. Two more terms mean the same thing, strike and exercise price. This is the price at which this underlying may be bought or sold. In this case, if it's a call, may be purchased. Now, somebody on the other side is going to have to deliver it. That, remember, our rights and obligations. So the $45 a share now sets us with, we've got the underlying of XYZ, 100 shares, and we've got a price of $45. It's a call in this example, so I have the right to buy it at $45 a share, 100 shares of good old XYZ. The expiration date of the option. This is when the option ceases to exist. In my manner of thinking, remember we talked about trade-offs using options? This element is absolutely key to being comfortable to using option strategies, that options cease to exist over a period of time, that they don't last forever. If I bought the XYZ, put it in the old safe deposit box or whatever, and I can keep it forever, pass it on to the kids, they can pass it on to their grandchildren. If I buy the option to buy 100 shares of XYZ, that option will have a limited life. I buy an option contract for a finite, definite period of time, 3 months, 6 months, whatever that case may be. What have I done? I've told myself that XYZ has to go up in that time frame. If I just bought the stock, I certainly probably have a time frame in mind that I think it's going to go up, because if it doesn't go up over a period of time, maybe it's time to move on to another stock, but it's not limited. So in this case, XYZ, 100 shares of underlying out to December. The option expires in December. It has to get above, well, in this case, it would have to be above 50-50 because we paid $550 for it. And we'll talk about that. That's the next thing on the list is the premium. So you pay for this right to buy 100 shares of XYZ at $45 a share. You're not paying the full price if you bought the XYZ for 100 shares, $4,500. Here you control, in essence, 100 shares of XYZ for $550, $550 per option, 100 shares, that's your multiplier, plus the commissions that might be involved in that. So what we're doing in our forecast here is we're saying, I'm willing to pay $550 to control this out to December. And my forecast is that XYZ will be above 50-50, the price of the option plus the underlying. That's when I get into the profit zone. So the premium is the price we pay for the right to sell the stock if we're doing the put, or the right to buy it if we're doing the call. So that's our cost in the trade. It's also important to know that when you go long an option, whether it be a put or a call, and you pay this premium, you've limited your risk. You've put a limited risk position on, because you can't lose any more than what you paid for the option contract. It can happen. Market moves, dramatic market moves can raise value very quickly, and you need to be aware of that. But once again, you've got a limited risk window that you've just put on. That's on the long side of the options. To exercise, this is, again, we're going to invoke our rights. Remember, we're the buyer, we're the holder, we have the right. So I want to exercise my rights. I've made a decision. I own a call, bar XYZ call, December call. I like to own that stock in my portfolio, and I have the right to do that. So I choose to buy the stock at the strike price. Merely go through my broker, say exercise my option. and you will get the stock delivered into you from a seller. A put exercise, just the opposite. Remember, I've got the right to sell the stock. So in this case, I can sell the stock. Say, I want to put it away from me. I want to get the stock either A, out of my portfolio, or B, put myself in a short position with the stock. So I can do it that way with that. The other side of that exercise is assignment. This is, again, I've got the obligation because I was a seller of an option. I've taken on an obligation. I get assigned. Guess what? I have to fulfill my obligation. So for call assignment, the call seller is randomly chosen out of everybody that has sold this option, is short the position, if you will, and required to sell the stock at that strike price to the call buyer. At this point, it doesn't matter what the open market price of the stock is. They have to deliver it at the strike price of the option that they've sold. The put, just reverse it again, required to buy the stock at the strike price. This is why you need to understand your rights and obligations, so that if you have a short position in an option strategy, you understand that this is what possibly could happen. Don't think of assignment as a bad thing, necessarily. I know it's easy to think of that, oh my gosh, something went wrong because I was assigned when I sold an option. There are numerous option strategies that you can put on where this actually is an outcome that is desirable, is what you wanted to have happen. A couple other terms that you're going to hear for options. An options class. This represents all options of the same type. In other words, all the calls and puts that cover a particular security. So in our case, let's use good old XYZ. All the options that trade on XYZ, puts or calls, whatever month they go out to, are the class of options. IBM puts or calls, that's the class. Within the class are option series. That's the same class with the same strike price and expiration month. In other words, in this case, in our example, the IBM July 55 calls within the IBM options class are one series. The August 60 puts are a series. So that's just descriptive terms that are used in the industry that I think you need to just be comfortable with, familiar with, when they're talking about an option class or a series. Series are getting down to a specific one. Class, they're talking about them in general. There will always be corresponding calls and puts at the same strike price. There won't be 55 calls, but no 55 puts in an option. Option premium. Very important part of putting a strategy on. How much am I going to pay, and what does this payment represent? Two parts to that option premium in some cases, and it's very important as we go through this, because this premium and this terminology here of intrinsic and time value premium will help you decide what option I'd like to buy. Remember those series. Which one do I want to pick out of these available options so I want to put the strategy on? In our example, we have a stock that's trading at $56 a share. We look and we see that the 50 strike call option is trading for $8. Well, first of all, we realize that if I have the right to buy this stock at $50 a share and it's trading at $56, that's $6 difference between the strike, because I can get the stock at $50 and sell it out at $6 immediately at $56. That's intrinsic. That's real hard value. I can measure that. I can see it, feel it, touch it. It's real value. That's called intrinsic value. So that option premium, at best, has to be $6. Because if it's less than $6, I'm going to buy that thing all day for $5.50, exercise it for $55.50, and sell it at $56. That's arbitrage. So that's not going to happen very often, and you really got to be quick to take advantage of it if it does. But today's pricing models probably aren't going to let that happen. Point is, okay, we know that $6 is hard value. What's the two? The two is the time value premium for the option. Time value. Remember, options go out over time. We can choose different time frames, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, whatever it may be. Logic tells us, I think, that the further out we go, the higher the time premium is going to be. Because the seller, person taking on the obligation, is giving you more time for that option to get in the money, for that underlying security to move in the direction where it's in the money, whether it be up or down. So I'm going to charge you more. I'm going to charge you more the further time we go out. So they're the two elements of the premium that we look at. So time value, total premium minus intrinsic value, and intrinsic value greater than or equal to zero on that. Quick question, we have a 60 call in this scenario with the stock at 56. We see the premium is 210. What's the intrinsic value of this 60 call, and how much of that premium of 210 is actually time value? Well, there is no intrinsic value because it's a 60 strike call. In this case, I have the right to buy it at 60. The stock is only trading at 56. There's nothing I can do there. I'm not going to be exercising that call at 60 to get the stock delivered to me at 60 when I could buy it in the open market at $56 a share. Yet there's $2.10 of pure time. However far out we're going to go with that, that's pure time premium. So option premium doesn't necessarily have to have intrinsic value. It can just have time value.
We hope you found Options Fundamentals Part 2 helpful. Next in the Options Fundamentals series is Part 3, available at www.optionseducation.org. And please remember, if you have an options-related question, call us at 1-888-OPTIONS or visit www.optionseducation.org.